Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are broadcasting live from the LCMS National Youth Gathering in Christ Alone in New Orleans, Louisiana. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. And they have a great booth here at the National Youth Gathering as well. As a matter of fact, in the mile-long convention center, you can see it from the KFUO booth, giant banner on the, about halfway down the convention center here in New Orleans. Joining me at the KFUO broadcast booth today, Cassie Moore. She's the author of Authentic Youth Ministry, straight talk about working with kids, teens, and in-betweens from Concordia Publishing House, a DCE and teacher, all-around Christian educator in Florida. Cassie, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
You're also on the planning team.
I am.
Here at the National Youth Gathering.
I am.
And wife.
And wife to my husband is a pastor in Florida. So we are both here working the gathering, and it has been a long but fun process for the last 2 years. So we are excited to finally see it all come together.
Well, very good. Glad to have some time with you here at the National Youth Gathering. I know that you have important duties as part of the gathering team, and it was nice of your team to let you step away for a little bit so we could talk about your work in youth ministry and how you've shared your wisdom from years of youth ministry here in your book, Authentic Youth Ministry. Authentic, that's kind of a key word these days. Why is it important that whatever you do in youth ministry, that it be authentic? Why has it been important to you in your ministry?
Yeah, I think being authentic is just key when you're working with youth especially, because they can tell if you're not really into it and you're faking it. You know, they have an extra fine-tuned radar for that. So all of these kids, you know, all ages that we work with, what they really are looking for in their leaders is just authenticity and humility and a servant heart. And I think I wrote this book out of a concern in my own ministry that there was nothing to give people. You know, I had volunteers coming in for vacation Bible school and for Sunday school. There was nothing to really give them that was an all-encompassing how-to. You know, how do you work with little kids? What should you expect developmentally? You know, how do you discipline children? How do you control your youth group? What do you do with discipline? So just a lot of things that I really just saw a need and said.
So now you just hand them the book?
Now I just hand them the book. And it's been fun preparing for the gathering. I know I've had some friends say, oh, all of my youth leaders, my volunteers and chaperones are reading your book to prepare for the gathering. So it's been fun. I've had some airport spottings of people walking around with my book and had a great chance to talk to people here. So it's been quite an interesting experience for a first-time author.
How did you get... when would you say you were first interested in youth ministry and potentially becoming a DCE?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really, throughout my life, just always had an interest in serving my church and working with people. Actually never had a youth group, so this was sort of a new experience for me. But in high school, I really went through and thought I was going to go into a totally different career path, but God just really called me kind of my senior year of high school, and it completely did a 180 and started looking at Concordia University schools to go into theology, and just, you know, kind of looked at programs and said, I really like this director of Christian education program, really fits me. So I ended up going to Concordia Irvine and just loved it there, but have many, many friends from all Concordias and just have been so tremendously blessed in being a DCE and working with so many great pastors and teachers and other DCEs.
If I remember correctly, you share this in the book, you were planning on studying art. Is that right?
And I teach a little bit of art every once in a while, but I've always loved art. I've always loved writing. I wrote for my school newspaper, so...
yeah, that was a fun story, too.
I had some rebellious times, so it prepared me to work with teenagers, because I know, you know, I was a little bit goofy sometimes and played a lot of pranks, so I am familiar with some of the warning signs rumbling in a youth group, to say.
I love your stories that you share a lot of personal stories, little vignettes from your life, whether it was as a youth or as a youth leader. And I love the story about when your school changed to school uniforms that could have no logos on them. Mm-hmm. And so you just came up with a creative idea. You bought a roll of smiley face stickers, started putting them on there to cover up the logos. And then you thought you were set. And then all your friends caught on and started...
Yeah.
And you started sharing the stickers and had this whole secret campaign, and then you got caught.
And then I got caught, and my teachers were not too happy with me.
But what did they say? What was it about that? Because you had that, and I think there might have been some other incidents as well, but that you had the attention of your classmates, and you had this way of leading them. What was it that your teacher, your leader, said to you that made you realize your gifts and abilities?
It was my strictest teacher that I was terrified of. So she pulled me aside and said, you know, leadership is a gift and you cannot abuse it. And that was really the first time in my life that somebody in authority recognized me as a leader. And I think it started me down the path of realizing, hey, there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of influence that I have with my classmates and with my peers, and that's a gift that I want to really to use. And that's, if God has given me that gift, it's something that I should pay attention to. So it was a great learning moment for me.
And being a writer, you share these stories from your youth, from your time as a youth leader or as serving in youth ministry. So that the rest of us can benefit from those as well. So that's certainly a gift too, being able to chronicle, to write these stories and share them. You mentioned that it's important to learn to use this gift of leadership responsibly and faithfully. What are some other ways that you've learned to use these gifts responsibly and in service to our Lord and His people?
Yeah, I think what I've really learned in the years that I've been serving my church. I started in Vacation Bible School as a volunteer when I was 12 years old. So that really was the first thing that sort of got me into serving with my church. And though I didn't have a youth group, I had a great friend group throughout high school and into college. And I think humility is just so key in serving. And just, it's great to serve. It's great to just reach out. And that's how you live your faith out. We serve through Christ. And even as a gathering planner, I just see so much humility around me. And I see so many kids impacted for Jesus. And kids, I had the chance yesterday to walk around and just talk to participants and just to hear their stories and to hear how they've been touched by the people they've interacted with. It's just amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about that, being a gathering planner, being involved in the National Youth Gathering, which this is number 13 in the number of National Youth Gatherings in the LCMS. What number is this for you?
This is number 2 that I have been a gathering planner for. So I led a group of about 50 kids several years ago, and then I myself went as a gathering participant when I was in high school. So I was actually a freshman in high school in 2001 in New Orleans, and had just a fantastic time here.
Wonderful. And so back in New Orleans this week, and here as a gathering planner, and just give us an idea of what that entails. It's a 3-year process, right?
It is. It's a lot more than meets the eye. Your average person comes into the National Youth Gathering from all across the country, and they see just incredible things set up. And you don't always see the backstory. You don't see that we've been meeting as a team for years, and we've been, everything started as an idea, sitting around maybe a cup of coffee, and it morphed into, many different versions of what can work and what can we scale down to fit for our group. And it's been basically a part-time job for me for the last 2 years as an experiential team lead. So I've been managing a team. They have been fantastic, and it's just incredible to see everything come to life. It started as just a little idea in our brains, and now it's this thing that people are experiencing on the floor.
What does that mean, experiential team?
Experiential is where we take the main idea of the National Youth Gathering, everything that people hear, maybe at a mass event, and we give it to students so they can really experience it. They can hold something in their hands, they can make something, they can walk through something, they can process and talk. And it really just reaches them in a different way. So we have many, many different themes and ideas and activities for them to do. Everything from walking through an experience to see, how hard is it to get water in a third world country, to doing something with community, to writing their thoughts on a graffiti board, to bouncing around in a ball pit and meeting a stranger and finding out you have something in common. So there's just a ton of stuff, and it's been incredible to see people really interact and just love it this week.
Hopefully I'll have a chance to make it down there. I had a chance. One of the privileges of, you know, being in media and broadcasting is getting into the convention center before, really, there were probably like four or five other people in here this morning when I came in, and having a chance to walk around while it's pretty quiet in here, other than, you know, the cleaning folks, making sure everything's nice and clean. I had a chance to walk around and see all these things, all the experiential area, not in use, but ready to go for the youth today, and thinking, I bet this is a lively place. Once the youth are here, and once the young adult volunteers are here, and
yes,
and planning team are here, it's a busy place.
It is very loud and very lively, and we have almost a human wave of people come through in the morning. It's incredible to watch it come to life.
How does something like National Youth Gathering play a part in youth ministry for whether it's a DCE or a parent or a volunteer youth leader in their congregation? How does National Youth Gathering play a part in youth ministry in the local parish and local congregation?
I think there are so many valuable things that the National Youth Gathering does. I think for participants, it just gives them an incredible sense of community. You know, there is nothing like looking out and seeing 25,000 other people that believe what I believe, that have been through confirmation, that, you know, have done memory work, that, you know, I'm not alone. A lot of our participants come from smaller churches, and it's just so eye-opening to them. And it's just, I think, such an incredible moment in their lives that they see the Holy Spirit work. And I think all of those leaders, all of those adults, all the chaperones and everybody who's staffing it, it's just incredible to see students' lives being touched and to see the Holy Spirit working through them and to see them interacting with people in the city and just loving it. It's pretty amazing. So I think it does so much. It certainly was an incredible moment in my life. And, you know, as a gathering planner, I know so many people here, so many great professionals that I've worked with throughout the years. So it's great to see them, to be encouraged by them, to pray together. You know, we just pray all day long. And, you know, it's something I talk about in my book. I think that just authentic encouragement. We're all in it together. We all have our struggles. We have our joys. So, you know, let's live life together. Let's be authentic.
In your book, you share some of the kind of the do's and don'ts based on your own experience in youth ministry. You know, here's a good example of what not to do.
Right. Because I think, honestly, in youth ministry, we don't want to be preached at. You know,
sure.
A lot of times I'm working with people that have full-time jobs, and they come in and they're tired and they're exhausted, and maybe they're not professionally trained, and, you know, we all screw up. So what we need to hear is, hey, I screwed up too. And, you know, I learn from it. And this is what I want to pass along to you. So I've tried to be very, very, very real, to the point where I sometimes... Yes, authentic. Sometimes I think maybe I've made a fool of myself in some of the things I've said, but the whole world knows it now. So, oh, well.
Well, you know, we're at the National Youth Gathering. We're well into it. Only, you know, today and tomorrow left, and people are starting to get tired. And I think that was one of the examples that you used in your book was it had been, you were on a long trip, you had been on you were just exhausted, and getting to probably, I don't know, maybe the end of the trip, I think you were at dinner with some youth, and if I remember correctly from this story, you know what story I'm using?
I know exactly what you're going to say. I happened to be at the tail end of a mission trip, and anybody who's ever been on a mission trip or a youth trip, you know exactly what I mean when I say you get to a point in the trip where you're just happy everybody is alive. Right? So
sure.
You can all relate to this. So I was at that point in this trip, and we stopped at a fast food restaurant, and I was just sitting there and ended up just picking up a handful of French fries and just chucking them at the boys in my group. It was middle school boys.
Now, there was something that provoked it, though.
You know, they were middle school boys. They were being stinkers. But they were just so appalled and so taken aback that as their leader, I would dare stoop to their level and throw French fries across the restaurant. I was expecting that they would laugh, and, you know, they just sat and just were in shock looking at me like, I just can't believe you did that, Cassie. So embarrassed. So I learned that sometimes it's a hard, hard road as a leader.
Where did it go from there?
You know, it went to me realizing that it takes sucking it up and admitting maybe you're wrong. Maybe the Holy Spirit is teaching you something in a weak moment. But, you know, we are all a work in progress, and Christ is working in all of our lives. And the beautiful thing about that is that we are not expected to be perfect because we're not able to be perfect. So, you know, as Christians, we have that forgiveness and we have that grace, and we love that.
You made that very clear in your book that, you know, this was you admitted your fault to your students and were very clear about that. But it was also an opportunity for forgiveness and for them, for your students to see that you're a human being, that you make mistakes and that you have failures, and a person for whom Christ died as well. Mm-hmm. And they were able to see that, and they didn't want to see you throw fries anymore. But it was a good opportunity for them to see that you too need forgiveness just like them, and so that you can share that forgiveness with them as well when they make mistakes.
Right. Yeah.
Another valuable point that I appreciated from the book is that you talked about understanding your strengths and weaknesses, your gifts and abilities, your just own personality characteristics. As a fellow DCE going through that formation of becoming a DCE, had the opportunity to do one of those studies and learn that, you know, the personality type indicators and benefiting from that. Why is it valuable to understand not only your personality type and strengths and areas for growth, but also of those you serve and those with whom you serve? Why is it valuable in youth ministry to understand those things?
Right. I think it's incredibly valuable because you need to know yourself before you can serve others. And you need to know what you need to work on before you can really be an influential, a really positive role model in the lives of youth, because that's what they need. So I think you have to be honest and look in the mirror and face, you know, sometimes the harsh truth. And the fact is that there's no bad personality. God can use every one of us, no matter if you are a strong leader, if you are a quiet person, if you love to be up front, or if you're super organized and work behind the scenes. So, and I think when you learn that about yourself, you are able to pass that knowledge along to others and to look into their lives, especially in our students. I work with so many student leaders, and it's great to see them and to recognize those gifts in them.
One of those things you talked about being, whether you're a quiet person or, you know, an outgoing personality, whether you have preference for introversion or extroversion, you use a great story of traveling with one of your colleagues and who just happens to be here this week as well. And a fellow DCE that I know. As I was reading the book, I said, I know exactly who that is.
I know. You asked me that the first time I saw you. You said, I think I know who you're talking about. So, yes, we were chatting about my friend Nick, who's one of my leaders here with the National Youth Gathering. And he's actually my commander-in-chief for this gathering. So he's doing a fantastic job. But, you know, we've traveled a lot together over the last few years, and we happen to be very opposite personalities. He's a little bit more introverted, and I am extremely extroverted. So there are many times where we'll be sitting together, and he is just sick of the world. He is sick of talking, and I'm just talking his ear off. So as somebody who tries to understand myself and to understand others, that was really, we happened to be on a trip to California one time, and we traveled 7 hours flying on the plane together, and I realized, you know, he needs to walk away and have some quiet time to recharge, and I just need to let him walk away, and, you know, it happened to work out. It's a great friendship, so God can work through every type of personality for sure.
If there's one thing you want our listeners to know who may be serving in youth ministry, partnering with parents, partnering with congregations and youth, if there's one thing you want them to know as we wrap up our time here today, what is it that you want them to know about their service in youth ministry?
I would say I truly think of all of the work that you can do in your life, working with youth, empowering the next generation, and sharing Christ with them to build up young leaders that can reach so many other people. That is truly the most important work that we can do. And investing in our youth, you know, they are not the leaders of tomorrow. They're the leaders right now. And I see that in my youth all the time. I see that in all of the young adults that are working this gathering, and every level of volunteers that make this incredible event for 25,000 people run. You know, you are not alone, and you are part of a bigger picture and a bigger team. And we all work together for Christ, and it's a beautiful thing. So be encouraged in that.
Authentic Youth Ministry, straight talk about working with kids, teens, and in-betweens from Cassie Moore, available from Concordia Publishing House. Cassie, always great to talk with you. Thanks for stepping aside from your duties here at the National Youth Gathering to talk about your book with me today.
Thanks so much. Take care.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with more here at the National Youth Gathering. I'm Andy Bates, reporting from New Orleans. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.